This is part of a series that we think we're going to call spiritual intelligence. Spiritual intelligence, sort of biblical self-help. We've all heard about emotional intelligence. This is going to be about spiritual intelligence. We're looking at things like low mood, not depression as such, but you know when you've got you're fed up or you're very anxious, that sort of thing. That sort of the anxiety. We recognise that there's the illness of depression, and that's not what we're addressing this morning. Real depression, in that sense, you often need professional therapy. You often need medication. You sometimes need a combination of both. Sometimes it's got a health route. If you're lacking in vitamin D, you can end up depressed. And you need, my aunt's just discovered one of these daylight lamps, and the difference in her is just phenomenal. You know, she said for the first time in years, she's gone out in the middle of winter and done 4 hours gardening. And so there's those sorts of things where there's a specific sort of medical or reason that needs something that's professional. That's not what we're looking at. That's not what we're about. This is about when you're feeling that you're, you're sort of, you've got the ump, or you're feeling sort of like it's all dark and it's all gloomy and that sort of thing. It's that sort of feeling, but not when it's sort of totally overpowering. So we're going to look at that, and we're going to use Psalm 42 as the sort of biblical basis of what we're going to be looking at, okay? And it's a two-handed job between me, Carol, in case you don't know who I am, and Marion over there. But I think everybody knows everybody else, because Zach knows, he knows me and Marion, which is the important thing, okay? He's got his priorities right. He was coming to listen to the speaking until he found out it was me, then he almost went with the teens instead. But he thought, okay, they'll come and listen to me. Okay, so we're going to look at Psalm 42. So, Marion.
I was reading this the other day, and I'll just read it. I've mentioned before that I struggle on and off with feeling low. It's not openly debilitating, rather I know that I'm feeling blue, and it requires effort to navigate my day. My preferred response is to become glum about everything in life and to catastrophize every situation, past, present and future. If I yield to its compelling pressures, then I'll become like a bear with a sore head and not nice to know. If I choose to manage myself, then it's taking responsibility for my words and actions, a personal management that requires an incredible amount of effort to implement consistently. The last place I want to make tracks for is the place of prayer, and the last person I feel I want to talk to is God. And the writer of the psalm, this particular psalm, had a similar problem. So, what we're going to do is we're going to look at Psalm 42. And what I'm going to do first of all is I'm going to read it out to you in the Good News Bible translation, and then we're going to give you the NIV translation along with a pencil. And we want you to look at it, and we want you to try and see if you can spot the words, the phrases, the ideas that show that the psalmist who's writing this is not in a very good place as he's writing it. As a deer longs for a stream of cool water, so I long for you, O God. I thirst for you, the living God. When can I go and worship in your presence? Day and night I cry, and tears are my only food. All the time my enemies are asking me, where's your God? My heart breaks when I remember the past, when I used to go with the crowds to the house of God and lead them as they walked along. Happy crowd, singing and shouting praise to God. Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. Here in exile, my heart is breaking, and so I turn my thoughts to him. He has sent waves of sorrows over my soul. Chaos roars at me like a flood, like waterfalls thundering down to the Jordan from Mount Hermon and Mount Mizar. May the Lord show his constant love during the day so that I may have a song at night, a prayer to the God of my life. To God, my defender, I say, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go on suffering from the cruelty of my enemies? I am crushed by their insults as they keep on asking me, where's your God? Why am I so sad? Why am I so troubled? I will put my hope in God, and once again I will praise him, my Saviour and my God. So,
can you repeat the task, please?
You're just underlining anything that looks to you like a symptom of low mood or anything that's in the thing that describes, so, you know, despair, those sorts of things. Anything that you think is an indication of the fact that David was not in a good place. Seconds. 2.5 seconds.
Right. Are you ready to begin to report feedback? Yes. Well, I did just have the good news, the NIV and the New Living Translation out, and the highlighted which ones I went along. It's quite interesting to see different words that we use, so that's something you might like to do sometime when you're looking at a particular scripture. You can hand it out and have a look. Okay, right. Shout out what you came up with. Not too fast, so I can write it down.
Tears.
Pour out.
Why?
Looking back on what he used to have.
Regret. That's probably a quick way of saying regret.
Yeah.
David's got a grin on his face, which means it's going to be something really awkward. I could tell.
I just say this. You excuse the term pants.
This is pants.
Not as a dog, but
this.
Damn cost.
Night time and not sleeping, so
sleep disturbance, yeah.
It says all day and day and
so lack of sleep,
night time.
And there's nothing worse than a lack of sleep on a consistent basis to really cause problems.
Feeling abandoned.
So abandonment.
Disturbed.
Was that you, Jack?
Yes, it was.
Disturbed. Yeah.
Used to
looking back.
Questioning yourself, why are you so disturbed within me? So no rational reason for feeling like this. You think, well, I'm feeling like this. I've no reason for it.
So almost like questioning, almost catastrophizing, taking it down the track. What's going on here? Why is all this happening? And again,
why am I feeling like this?
Why? Yeah.
Why? Don't.
You've got oppressed.
Stop letting other people affect you. Okay? So. And Rob?
Oppressed.
Okay.
Oh, has anybody got anything from verse 7?
Yes.
No.
Verse 7.
Overwhelmed. Mm. I think overwhelmed's a really, well, because I'm going to talk about it. I think overwhelmed's a really important one. Like the waves crashing over you, overwhelmed by things.
If you go through and actually put it into modern parts, you've got things like constant lack of sleeplessness, loss of appetite. My tears have been my food, loss of appetite, tears. There was a lot of verbal bullying and pushing around going on. You felt emotionally drained, pour out my soul. Hopeless, anxious, deep sadness, completely overwhelmed, fatigued, can't cope, abandoned, isolated, rejected, confused, physical suffering. He was actually suffering physically as well and emotionally. Okay, and number 11 talks about a really deep sense of sadness. So the psalmist in that sense was not in a very good place at all.
So I'm sure from that list there are things that you can definitely identify with. hence me making sure that you've got the overwhelmed bit, because that's my personal thing at the moment. But it's important to identify, but there's also, you need to think about what can cause those sorts of feelings. I think there's two sorts of, an extra list up there. There's two sorts of things. There's your environment or the circumstances, and I think there's stuff to do with relationships. There's things in the past, and I think there's things in the present. And all those things, I think, can contribute towards you having a low mood. There was a bit of research by somebody, I'm not going to be able to pronounce this, Sonia Livbomisky or something. Okay, she's a psychology professor, and she did some research that showed that happiness, which you might take as being the opposite as low mood, I don't really know, but is 50% genetics, 10% circumstances, and 40% choices. Now, how good that research is, etc., I don't know, but I think sometimes we think it's genetics, that's the way I am, you know. I always look, you know, I'm a glass half empty person as opposed to a glass half full person. You know, it's genetics, the way I am. We can look at things like that. Therefore, I will always look on the black side, you know, whatever the circumstances is or whatever the things happened. Circumstances, and with genetics, if we stay in that's the way we are, we can excuse the fact that we feel like it because that's genetics, that's the way I was made. But we have to put that beside the fact that God can change us. You know, we are new creations and he can renew our minds and we don't have to stay in that situation. Circumstances are sometimes, we can do things about circumstances. You know, we can actually change our behaviours and ways that change our circumstances, and sometimes we can't. So sometimes God's saying, you know, you're just going to have to wait. I will change the circumstances, but you've just got to wait. And then we have to look at it in a different way about how you cope with those circumstances and what God's asking you to do in those circumstances. Choices are down to us. Yeah? We can choose. And I think the fact that we can choose about how we react to some of these things is really important. As you know, I catastrophise. You've heard me talk about this before. My mother catastrophises, and she's even worse than I am. Okay, if anything goes, she says, I can cope with everything until something tiny goes wrong, and then she goes into complete meltdown. Now, I can look at the fact that she's really bad, and I catastrophise as being genetics. I've inherited it from my mother. I'm not sure I have inherited it. I actually think it's learnt behaviour. I have learnt to catastrophise through circumstances because I have seen my mother catastrophise. And one of the things I'm now choosing to do is not react in that way, okay? And I can't do that on my own. When I catastrophise and when it makes me feel down and when I feel, you know, I can't cope with life, etc., I am making choices, I am choosing to try and do something about that. And we'll go on a bit in a minute to how to deal with.
Okay. Can you just throw up the next slide? Yes, David, thank you. Two guys called Ogden and Linton in the year 2000 proposed this, what they call the window of active tolerance. Now, that window is different for different people. So some people can deal with pressure and stress and it doesn't do a thing to them. So they've got a fairly wide window. Some people have got a fairly narrow window. So when things happen, they will go out of that window. So what will happen if something goes on that you aren't comfortable with, and this happened to me on Thursday, something very stupid happened. Group of people meeting in the area, and I've been on my own for the last few hours. Something triggered something in me, something I'm working on at the moment, and I went completely out of my window, adrenaline rush, no joke, and I got really upset about it. But when you go up, you come down. And so for the next 12 hours, I was feeling really low and really depressed and really upset and partly trying to work out why I react like that, and I understand why I react like that. But the idea is that we stay within that normal window that we have ups and downs. You know, there'll be things that happen that are good, that encourage us, and things that cause us to feel low. And as you can see from that window, the feelings and responses that we have in that area are manageable. And they're manageable because we manage them. Okay? We have the power to manage some of those. And as Christians, we manage those with God's help. And we're going to look at that psalm again, and I'd like you to have a look through Psalm 42 and see how the psalmist manages those low feelings that we've just been talking about. And I'll give you a clue, there's not as many ways as there are
symptoms.
Okay. Some of the people who maybe didn't get a chance to say something in the first bit, do you want to kick off with some of the things you spotted as the way in which the psalmist began to look at managing how he was feeling or how they were feeling?
Putting his hope in God.
Remembering what God had done before.
Is it recalling what God had done before? Yeah. So remembering past positive experiences in his relationship with God. Okay?
Recognizing that the future will change and be positive.
Every cloud has a silver lining, so future change possible. Okay, yeah.
I will yet praise him.
Praise. Yeah. Praise is kind of sort of positive confession, isn't it? Positive declaration. And a good example of that yesterday, Peter and I were down on our mums. And we prayed, and I said, Lord, I want this, and this, and this, and this. I want to go to the Alexandra, because Peter wasn't doing very well. And I wanted everything to go smoothly, and blah, 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 blah. And it did. So, yeah, praise, possibly, yeah, declaration. Yeah?
Declaring the truth.
Yeah.
Declaring my Saviour and my God.
Yeah. So kind of declaring who God is, recognising that the focus is not on us and how we see ourselves, but actually God, how big God is, and declaring God's greatness. Yeah.
Come on, go for challenge. When do you think I've got that though?
You know, it could be anywhere.
The challenge is asking the question, why my soul are you so downcast? Why are you disturbed within me?
So
you're recognizing that it's wrong and challenging me.
Challenge reasons. Yeah, okay. Anything else people spotted? Right now. So Sonny, how do you leave that one to the end?
Singing goes with that as well.
Yes. In the extract I wrote, the chap who was writing there, who actually has a PhD in theology and is a writer and a journalist, and he said sometimes the last place he thinks is the greatest prayer and talking to God about it. So, yeah, try to sort it ourselves, but actually we have ways in which we can deal with it. Anything else? The intellectual back row over here, have you had any ideas? I'm not getting at you at all anyway. Any ideas, guys? The boss got one more, any more from the gentleman?
I think recognising that even in the negativity that is as first thinking about my rock. So you're recognizing where it's from. Why have you forgotten me? Why am I so good? I'm learning the place, but it's recognizing that. God is the rock.
So it kind of recognizes that God is for him, even though everything around him feels that it's kind of not. Yeah.
He also, along with Nigel's challenge thing, he basically speaks to himself and tells himself what should be doing. Put your hope in God. The reason you can't get praise around that. Yeah.
Come on, pull yourself
in God. Don't have a good telling what. Yeah.
Self, let's call it self-encouragement.
We looked at verse 6 and weren't sure whether that was about remembering about nice places. Jordan, Hermon, Mizar, or whether it was things God had done there, but there was certainly some positive imagery.
And I think that's like looking down at your problem, so you're like slightly removed. So it's because it's from the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar.
How do you make sense of the land of Jordan?
I don't know.
Let's go to the beach,
look, the River Jordan, the water has to come from mountains.
But actually, when you're dealing with people, when you're dealing with the people who are in situations where they feel unsafe or where there's stuff going on that's slightly, say, deeper than what we're doing, one of the things that you do is you create a safe place. You envision a place where you felt safe, where you felt, encouraged and comforted. So, yeah, spot on.
I'm going to talk to some of these, but the two I'm really focused in is hope in God and praise as sort of starting points, because I think you can put a lot of the others under those two headings. Hope that future change being possible, recognition that God's God comes under praise, and declaring God's greatness comes under praise, positive imaging comes under praising God for the things that he's done, etc. Singing comes under praise. Remembering past positives, that gives you hope for the future, because God's done this in the past, therefore he can do it in the future. I think there's the two main ways we can help ourselves. Is I think you have to start by recognising that you're down. Yeah? And you have to admit it and confront yourself as to why. Now, sometimes you don't know why this makes you feel like that. And sometimes that's why you need sometimes a deeper thing than just, coming to the Psalms and looking at it. You might need some help to access that. But if you can't recognise the symptoms, I think you sometimes have to learn to recognise that if I do this, I feel like that, or in these circumstances, it makes me feel, or just somebody coming alongside and pointing out that sorry, men, I used to get really bad PMT. I used to get really bad headaches and get really, really grouchy till I learnt the pattern that 2 weeks before I would feel like that. And I learnt to come against it so that it wasn't there. Sometimes you have to recognise what the triggers are and then you can actually deal with them once you've actually learnt what the triggers are. Sometimes some people don't want to admit there's anything wrong or they're feeling down because it might make them appear unspiritual, or it might make them feel weak or be a wimp or something like that. And so we tend to contain it. If we contain too much, then it tends to burst out and you either become this sort of hyper at the top or this sort of head under the duvet at the bottom sort of reaction to dealing with stress happens, Really sorry, excuse the language, crap's going to happen in our lives, but it's how we deal with it that's the important thing. If it's circumstantial, sometimes circumstantial can be because of things that happened in the past, and sometimes things that happened in the past are due to other people doing things to us, but sometimes they're actually about things that we have done wrong. And sometimes we need to actually confess that we've done those things wrong, because confession is the first part of actually dealing with those sorts of things. And then the prayer thing, I think, comes in with the hope, because access to God in prayer always gives us hope. Yeah? Being able to take things to God in prayer gives us the hope that that situation may change, or that we will change in that situation, because both those things are possible. Yeah? I think God can change what's going to happen, or he can change how we are going to react to what happens. And sometimes we're praying to God that the circumstance will change, and sometimes it's perfectly reasonable, but God turns round and said, sorry, David's now videoing me and that puts me off. All right, a photograph or something. Is that the circumstance can change, or we can change in the way that we deal with the circumstance. And if we can't change it, and we're not really good at dealing with it, then I think we sometimes have to say, right, this is really bad, I feel really bad, God, what are you teaching me through it? Because I think that's also sometimes where that sort of thing happens. And I think one of the things that helps me is, in the end, when I'm praying about it, it doesn't seem to be changing, I don't seem to be dealing with it, I actually say, is God in sovereign control in this situation or not? And if you believe that God is sovereign and is in control of what happens in your life, then there's always hope. And I think sometimes you have to hold on to that hope, even though the circumstances aren't changing, and sometimes your ability to cope with the circumstances aren't changing. You have to hold on to the fact that God has it under control, and just because you can't see it doesn't mean to say it isn't under control. We're also commanded in the Bible to rejoice in the Lord always. And one of our biggest tasks when we're down is to seek God and to praise him. Those of you that a long time ago did the Freedom in Christ stuff, there's an image about of an aeroplane coming into an airport. And an aeroplane is sometimes like our thoughts, our negative thoughts. And sometimes we allow those negative thoughts to land. And once they've landed, they're much more difficult to deal with. They're much easier to deal with by cutting them off while they're still circling around out here. And one of the ways I've learnt to deal with some of my anxieties and feeling down is to actually stop it in its track and go, I am not allowing that thought to take root. Now, I can't just say it to myself and it happens. I actually have to sort of distract myself. But the way I distract myself is by praising God, because my view is that if that's not, you know, the enemy coming in and trying to make you, you know, circumstance and all the rest of it, if you come at it with praise, you're saying to the enemy, I recognise what you're doing, and even though that's happening, and even though that's bad, and even though I'm not coping with that very well, I am still going to praise God, even though that's going on. And that's the important thing for me, is that I've learned to almost cut things off before they take root, before I go, is say, no, I will praise God. And I think that's really important, is recognising that you can do that. When I first found out about Mum, I was overwhelmed. I think it's the only way to describe it. I was overwhelmed. I kept going over and over in my mind, kept going over all the negatives. I kept checking out future scenarios. I kept making it worse than it was. It was the last thing I thought about when I went to sleep. It was the first thing I thought about when I woke up. I was getting stressed. I was getting emotionally drained. I was getting overwhelmed. I couldn't concentrate, yeah, on things. You know, it was quite a few things on that list was my reaction to it. And I have used the praise thing as a way of coming against that effectively. Now, I don't want you to think that it's easy, because it wasn't easy. It has taken me a year, and it still sometimes comes and swipes me sort of round the ear out of left field when I'm not looking. And I have to just stop myself. I'm not always effective at stopping myself. Sometimes I have gone through every scenario that includes what I'm going to do, how I'm going to get her into a home when she doesn't want to go, where the money's going to come, blah, blah, blah. You know, your brain just goes on and on and on and on. But stopping myself and making myself praise God definitely helps with those sorts of feelings. It just cuts them off at the knees, really. Now, one of the things you have to look at is what praise is for you. For some people, it's going to be singing. For some people, it's going to be declaring what God has done in the past. For some people, it's going to be declaring positive verses. You know, he that is in me is greater than he that's in the world. Or whatever it is that rocks your boat. Everybody has favourite verses that they use. For some, it may be, I was thinking Rosie might be here, but for some, it might be just a walk in the countryside, actually, is your way of praising God, if you're into creation and things like that. Whatever praise is for you, that's one of your biggest tools. Hope in God and praise are your tools against low mood. Yeah? As I said, not clinical depression, that takes more than just that, but this is about you helping yourself. Now, we may think, what's the role of prayer ministry in that? You know, lots of people go to the prayer table. You can't delegate things that you need to pray about yourself, for yourself, to other people. You have to be praying for yourself as well. But I think you can ask for help in praying, because I think in James 5:16 it says, pray for one another that you may be healed. Other people can shine a light on your situation. When you're in it, you're just in it, and that's what surrounds your thought pattern. Going to other people and asking them to pray can come from, they can hear from the Holy Spirit from you, they can have a different take on the situation, they may have something else that they can say that they can bring into that situation. It's very difficult if you go saying, what you can't get people in prayer ministry to do is to join you in berating God. Yeah, because sometimes I think we go to for prayer with an agenda. I've got this problem and I think God should do about it, and I want you to join in telling God that that's what should be done. I think if you're going for prayer, you have to accept the fact that the people who are praying with you are going to be hearing from God for themselves, for you, and it may not be quite what you want to hear. Okay, I think you have to be open to that, and then you have to weigh it, etc. Going to other people gives us a chance to confess. We may never have said, you know, I actually feel like this when, or I feel like this after X has happened. It gives us a way to actually confess the way that we're feeling and things like that. And I sometimes, with praying for things, especially when they're really difficult, I had to go to the prayer table a lot when I first heard about my mum, because I just ran out of steam praying on my own. And you just need the support of other people to pray through things with you. The other week, David, in the middle of worship, said, "What out of the worship has really struck you?" And the thing that struck me was from the song called, what's it called?
The one that we've got.
Yeah, we've got.
Blessed be your name.
Blessed be your name. And there's a line in there that's, carry on, that the line where it says, every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. That really struck me, because I'd already started preparing this. I thought, that is it. In one line, that is it. When the darkness closes in, Lord, yeah, still, I will say, I choose to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I think the takeaway, I think things you've got to remember is to identify when you're down, see if you can work out why, confess and seek God, and praise him, especially when you know that you're in a low mood. So that even though X is true and it is happening, I will praise you, Lord. Right? You need to identify what's your best in your way of praising. For some it's a song, for some it's a walk, for some it's doing something else. But I thought a good way of actually sort of finishing up is to sing it, okay, a cappella. Fortunately, I've got Marion. Rather than the sort of strange key I might have chosen, which Andrew Murray always says, I start in one key, drift into another and finish in a third, so sort of thing. So I think if you don't suffer from low mood, praise God. I also think you're lying, okay, because I think everybody at some point, some people are more prone, but I think everybody is. And I think actually remembering it and remembering to take it in prayer, because prayer always gives us hope, and to praise God, whatever the situation is, will help. Okay, you too.
Blessed be your name in the land.
Hope and praise, best things when the darkness is closing in. Amen.